Welcome to Job Tales, the show where we find out about different professions from the people who know. Each week, I'll speak to a new guest with a fascinating job. We talk to accountants, snowboarders, designers, astronomers, you name it. We find out about their professional paths to doing what they do, the skills required, and the tools they use for the job. I'm Laura Leoncini, and today my guest is Antoine Escoffet, aka DJ Green Giant. He's a DJ who has made a name for himself in the French part of Switzerland. Between anecdotes, myths, and his career path, you'll hear some really useful advice if DJing is what you want in your life. But before we talk, here's a taste of the music he makes. We'll play a full track at the end of today's episode. Thank you very much, Antoine. So you're a DJ Green Giant. I am very happy to have you on my podcast because you're the first DJ that I interview. I would like to know, how did you become a DJ in the first place?
Well, in the beginning, my brother had turntables in his bedroom, and I started to play with his records and with his turntables, and well, yeah, that was the beginning, and it became a bit more serious with the time, but that was it, pretty much.
We're talking about what age?
I think I was around maybe 15, something like this, yeah.
Wow, so you had, it was like your hobby, I guess, you were in your room playing, and are you like self-taught, or did you go to any school to become a DJ?
No, at that time, I don't think any school existed, but I had some friends who were already DJs, especially one who was like a really, really good DJ at the time. He still is a good DJ, actually. So he taught me a lot, but otherwise it was like self-practice and trying to understand how other DJs were doing things, and especially because it was before the internet. So yeah, it was like a lot about like listening to mixtapes and trying to copy some famous DJs and stuff like that.
Actually, that brings me to the next question. What does make a DJ a DJ? What is the profession of a DJ?
that's a difficult question because there are like tons of different DJs. But as soon as you play music in front of people, you can say that you are a DJ. But for me, at least, I think you have to have some technical skills. That's important, and to understand how music works and how beats are made and stuff like that. But otherwise, I mean, some people are just DJing for fun and just playing music from iTunes and stuff like that. I mean, it's cool. As long as you don't want to be like a professional DJ.
So by the time you were 15, it was a hobby, and I guess your parents had plans for you going to school, becoming, I don't know, a lawyer or something. Did you actually go to school? What kind of academic background do you have?
Yes, I went to school. I know how to read and write. But after school, I wanted to be a webmaster. So I studied HTML, stuff like that. And I never worked in this era. So yeah, I was trying to find a job in the computing world. And it was difficult to find. And at the same time, I was having like more and more gigs. So I was like, okay, so let's be a DJ for a while, and then we'll see. And that while lasted a long time, because I'm still a DJ.
So yeah, I think that paths are very different for everyone, and it's great when you start having success in what you love, and then you can actually even make money out of it. So, and that's what basically becomes a profession, you know, making your living out of something. So what was the step between having a hobby as a DJ and then becoming a professional? What took you there?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think it changed like from one day to another. But yeah, I mean, when it's more like a job, of course you cannot do just as you wish. You have to like understand that you're playing for people. You have like someone giving you money to rock the crowd, basically. So it's not like you are alone in your bedroom. But I think for me, when I was like 20 years old, I started to work for a radio station here in Lausanne. Probably that was the beginning of my professional career, because it took me like to other places, and I became to be like a bit known, like around Lausanne. So people were asking me to play here and there. And yeah, I think that was like the turning point for me.
Did you actually apply at the, I believe it was the RTS, and did you apply there, or did they find you, or someone heard about you and proposed you the job?
Well, it was like a funny story. A good friend of mine had a show on this radio, and he was like wanting to stop it because he was tired of it, basically. So he called me one day and was like, "Hey, what are you doing on Friday? Can you replace me at the radio?" And I was like, "Okay, no worries." And so I took my records, went to the radio, and there the radio guys that were working there were like, "Okay, that's cool. You came because we had nobody, but can you come back like next week?" And I was like, "Okay, no worries." And the week after, and I stayed there for 23 years.
Wow, that was nice. I imagine that this is probably the best way to become a DJ, where you had no expectations really to, you know, professionally. Now, there's a lot of people, of course, today that want to become DJ badly. And, you know, of course, there's a lot of competition. How does it work today when you want to be a DJ? And what are the risks, let's say, or the obstacles that you can expect to have in your way?
Well, you're totally right. It's difficult to become a professional DJ and earn some money out of it. When I started, I had no plans, actually. I was just having fun in my bedroom, playing records, and that was it. So I would advise a young DJ to have fun first, and to love music, and to practice, and don't make too many plans, because you never know where it's going. And yeah, it's nowadays pretty much everybody is a DJ, and it's pretty hard to make your place. When I started, it was a bit more difficult because you had to buy a lot of records, and the gear was really, really expensive and stuff like that. But we were only a few, so that's how I got my chance. Nowadays, it's a bit harder for younger DJs, but I think you have to understand what people want, and to propose not only like a performance, but also like a concept, a party concept, and stuff like that.
I like a party concept.
Yes.
Ah, okay, interesting. Can you tell me about a concept like this? And also, can you tell me what difference there is between different DJs? Because you were saying like there's different kinds. Like, is there someone that composes music, someone that just mixes music of other artists, and where do you stand there?
So for your first question about party concept, it can be anything, but nowadays, at least here in Switzerland, DJs are not bringing people to clubs anymore like we used to do. People come to clubs because it's this party, like the brand of the party. This is like really, really important. For example, I have like a party called Downtown Boogie. And even if it's not me or my colleagues, people are going to come because it's this party. Mm. That's the first question. Also, for the second one, you have like, how can I say this? There are a lot of differences between music genders, like in the electronic music scene. You have to produce your own music. In my scene, which is like the hip-hop scene, most of the time you only play other people's music. That's the first thing. And also you have like, for example, some DJs that we call turntablists that are only worried about the technique and doing some crazy stuff with the turntables, and in a way like creating new music with existing music. So they don't perform in clubs, those DJs. They do like battles and stuff like that. And yeah, we have what we call the bedroom DJ, who only plays music like for himself, and that's fun. And I have no problem with that. I need to precise this. And yeah, otherwise, I mean, DJs are DJs.
Now, to the question whether you can actually make a living out of this, are you able to be a full-time DJ and live off of your earnings, or do you need to have an extra job on the side?
No, it's my only job. I only DJ. So, but we are only a few. Most of the DJs around here have a side job, or pretty much a main job, we can say. And DJing is a side job. And the tricky thing is that we always see like the really, really, really famous DJs, but it's so hard to get there. And I don't think I would advise a young DJ to look at them. I mean, if you want to be a better DJ, yeah, okay, you can look at them, but you probably are not going to have the same career as them. So yeah, I mean, if you really want to do this for a living, prepare Plan B. That would be my advice.
Yeah. No, I hear you. It's like basically like being an actor, and you always see the ones who have made it and are on the top of the iceberg. But whenever art is involved, it becomes very, very difficult to make a living from this. Are there any myths about this career, about the playing as a DJ that you can mention?
Oh, yes, there are a lot. First thing, I think a lot of people think we do drugs all the time, which is not true. I don't do drug at all. Also, you imagine that you are like partying like crazy all the time, which is not true. It's a job. It's not parties anymore. I mean, you can have fun. You can drink a bit and stuff like that, but it's not the goal of what we're doing. We are doing a job, that's it. And yeah, I think a lot of people imagine that I pick up girls like at every party, which is not true at all. I have to say this. So yeah, maybe the reality is a bit less sexy than it looks, but it's still a nice job. Yeah.
How much are you actually in front of a computer? Because I'm always thinking, you know, jobs that require computer time and jobs where people want to be maybe in the outdoors and have nothing to do with computers. Is that the kind of job that allows you to be away from electronics? I mean, of course, you base your job on that, on being on, before it was records and vinyls, and now it's actually everything on the computer. But do you work a lot in preparation on this, or like only during parties, for instance, and during your soirée?
No, actually, I have to prepare my sets. It's not like I prepare every song, but I always have to know what's new in the music world. That's one thing. And the other thing is you have to promote your parties a lot. So you need to have at least a Facebook, Instagram, stuff like that, like the basic social networks. But yeah, I mean, during a week, I can stay away from my computer like during a pretty long time. I don't need to be like on my computer all the time. And it's nice because I don't like that, actually. Especially the promotion part. I hate it, but I have to do it.
Yeah, that's interesting because you're actually, you know, your own entrepreneur, right? So you have your product and and you need to promote it. Now, is there, and this is a very stupid question, but let me ask it. Is there any chance that a DJ can be an employee DJ?
Yes, you can. For example, if you work for a radio station, or some people like are employed by clubs and they play there like twice a week or three times a week or stuff like that. So yeah, it's possible. I don't personally want to do that because I like to go from one place to another, and I think like playing always in the same place is boring. but you can do it, yeah.
Have there been difficult times in your life during your career as a DJ?
Yes. For example, like a long time ago, I had some difficulties with money. I wasn't earning enough money, so it's really, really, really stressful. And besides that, one thing that is difficult is that when your mood is not so nice and you're like feeling depressed or stuff like that, it's so hard to go to a party and try to act like you're like super happy and having fun and stuff like that when it's not true at all.
Yeah, it's something I didn't think about. It's true. It's you need to kind of put a mask and then exactly. play the part because they pay you for this, right? Of course, now it's been, what, 3 decades that you've been doing this? But yeah, more.
Almost, yeah.
Almost. So, and you told me in another occasion that you never thought you would be a DJ for that long. Are you thinking of continuing or do you have other plans for the future?
For the past 10 years, I've been thinking about doing something else, but obviously I'm still doing it. So, yeah, I mean, I know that I'm going to do something else. I just don't know what yet.
Okay. And I guess the world is your oyster. I mean, there's so many opportunities to do something completely else. Or maybe something still within the music industry. Or maybe you'll just continue to be a DJ forever, which is also fine and beautiful. And you were saying that you don't work like every day. You work on the different, you know, parties and so forth. How many do you do like a month, for instance, that allows you, you know, where you need to also put time into promotion and marketing?
It depends on the, like, it can change from 1 week to another, of course, or 1 month to another. I used to do like maybe 6 to 8 parties per month, but nowadays I do a bit less because I want to. That was a choice. And also because my earnings for some special parties are going up, so I can afford to do less. And it's hard to say how many hours per week, for example, I work, because it's like doing it like pretty much all the time, but a little bit, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. I guess it's in your brain all the time, and you breathe music, right? You were saying before that there were no schools back then, but are there schools today where you learn how to DJ?
There are a few, especially for the electronic music DJs. But yeah, you can take courses, and also you can find some really nice courses on the internet.
Do you have any advice for someone who wants to be a DJ and who is totally passionate about it and just wants to do that in life?
Yeah, my first advice would be listen to a lot of music, like all the time, and a lot of different music. And also, like I said before, don't plan to be a superstar. That's really important.
Like keep humble and see where it goes without having to necessarily match that big expectation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Thinking back on skills, besides for the obvious skills of being a DJ, what would you say are skills that are going to be useful for your career now that you've been a long time a DJ? I'm talking about soft skills.
I would say understanding the music, like how it's created, how... for example, the most important thing is to be able to count bars, stuff like that. That's the first thing you need to learn. And besides that, it's not that complicated, but you need a lot of practice behind your turntables. Even though it's not complicated, but you have to be comfortable with what you're doing. And there are things that you cannot learn from anyone else. You have to learn it in the clubs, like in front of a crowd, and to see how a crowd reacts and stuff like that. I couldn't teach that, but it comes with experience.
Is there a lesson you've learned in the past years that you want to share with me? Something that you say, oh, had I known that before, I could have done this differently.
Well, probably stay humble, but believe in yourself. When I was younger, I thought I was like a bad DJ, so I had no ambition, and also I was a bit too shy. So believe in yourself. That's really, really important.
Great advice. It's interesting. That's what a lot of people tell me during podcasts, you know, be persistent, believe in yourself, and you'll make it. It sounds easy, but it's actually not. Mm-hmm. Not easy when you're constantly doubting and they're, okay, maybe I'm not good enough. There are others who are better, but then, you know, there you go. You've been here for doing this job that many dream of, and you made it. So that's great. So I would like to ask you before we end about an anecdote that happened, that occurred in your life that you would like to share.
Yeah, a few years ago, I was playing in a club in Lausanne, but it wasn't a fancy club. It was more like an underground club. And I was behind the turntables playing, and I see a guy wearing a smoking and carrying a whole bunch of roses, like white roses, coming to me. And I was like, well, what is this guy doing here? And he gave me the flowers. And I was like, what the hell? I'm playing music. It's not like a really nice club, so I just don't get it. And the guy leaves the club without saying a word. I mean, leaves the stage, not the club. He stayed in the club, but he left the stage. And I was like, what was that? What just happened? And a bit later, a friend of mine who knew this guy told me that this guy was working in a palace where a girl was having like a birthday party, and he wanted to come after his shift to my party, but was afraid that the club would be packed. And so he took some flowers from the palace, arrived at the entrance, and said to the bouncer, okay, I need to give this to the DJ. And that's how he got in for free.
And what's funny is that I actually gave you the flowers, so you could have just stopped it there at the entrance, right? Did you keep the flowers?
No, I gave the flowers to a lot of people in the room.
Okay, that's cool. That's very funny. A funny story. Like, what people do to come and see your show, right? That's great. Anything else that you would like to share with us?
Well, you were asking me to what kind of music we could play at the end of the podcast. Maybe because there's a job which is like really linked to DJing is music producing. And actually, I started to produce music during the pandemic because I was stuck at home like everybody else. So I was like, okay, let's take this time to learn how to produce music and to make beats. And maybe I can send you a beat that I made recently.
Oh, that would be great. And what I'll do is not only will use it at the end of the episode, but also I'll put a link so that people can just click on it and then have it and listen to it. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for being there, Antoine. The green giant DJ. You want to say something about your name? Why? Is it important actually for DJ to have a very, let's say, unique original name?
I don't know if it's that important. I didn't choose it. A friend of mine gave it to me like 30 years ago when I was doing my first party. He wrote that name on the flyer, and that's why it's still my DJ name nowadays.
And I confirm that there is some truth to the name. So, for those who want to understand why, you have to come to Lausanne and then go to one of his parties. Thanks a lot. It's been very, very pleasant.
That was DJ Green Giant. He started at just 15 with turntables at home. Fast forward 30 years and he's still enjoying his professional life as a DJ. The path isn't always straight, and as he says, you should prepare a plan B. But like Green Giant, you may never need it. If you'd like to listen to this episode again or more from the JobTales series, go to worldradio.ch/jobtales or search JobTales, TALES, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Laura Leoncini, and I'll be back next week for another episode of JobTales with a brand new guest, the same time next week on WRS. And here is an original composition from DJ Green Giant himself. This is his track, Bap Tout Fragile.